people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Dan here at the American Student Network. And basically, if you look and see how we've gotten into the wars, they've all been contrived. There was no reason for America to go into World War I, other than the fact that J.P. Morgan and a number of very wealthy people bought up the media and came up with all these horrible atrocity stories. The whole assassinated wicked Huns were cutting off the breasts of women and raping the women over there and cutting off the hands of little boys. That was a whole lie. They got us into World War II by putting sanctions on Japan so she couldn't buy oil or natural resources anywhere in the world. That's a, sanctions are an act of war. The sanctions, similar to those we're putting on to Russia today, back certainly at the time of the Second World War, were an act of war against Japan. And, of course, we knew that Japan was planning on striking America. Of course, we funded the Germans all during World War II. 100 American corporations working in Germany, creating the weapons. After all, you have to have an enemy if you're going to have a war, don't you? The First Gulf War, what the story about the Iraqi troops bayoneting the little children that had thrown out of the bassinet. The Second Gulf War. Why? That was, of course, related to the weapons of mass destruction. When Colin Powell went before the United Nations and guaranteed with his integrity that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that threatened America, and it was all a lie. Colin Powell lied. He knew what he was doing. He was not a stupid man. He could say, "Oh, well, they told me things that were true." Why didn't he check them out himself? And now, of course, we see all sorts of contrived stories about Ukraine and certainly how the Soviets took that airplane down, the Malaysian flight. And there's all sorts of documentation. After all, they have certainly conversations between two Soviets congratulating one another on what a great job they did taking down the flight. The only trouble is they forgot to check on the timing on it, and they were recorded before the flight was taken down. So much, ladies and gentlemen, means that they're moving us towards a war with Russia today. And you better make your plans accordingly, and you better help us get the information out. But it's all contrived. Well, with us this morning, of course, is James Perloff. James is one of our favorite authors. He's written The Shadows of Power. Goes into the spiritual forces behind the people who are running things in the world today. He has written a new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, a frequent guest with Radio Liberty. And we're going to talk about Vietnam, and they got us into Vietnam with the story of the Gulf of Tonkin, and we killed 58,000 American boys in a war we could have won in 6 weeks. They wanted the war as a diversion so we could bring in a great society and bring socialism to America. Killed 1 million South Vietnamese, 2 million North Vietnamese. Does anybody really care? Does anybody demand that the people responsible for the lie be held responsible? James Perloff is going to be talking to us this morning about Vietnam. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Dr. Stan, and thank you for having me on, and thank you for that excellent summary about the deceptions that have brought us into war.
Well, you go right ahead with what are we going to be talking about Vietnam?
Well, we'll talk about the whole war, but since last week was the 50th anniversary of the Tonkin Gulf incident, we should really start with that. I'd like to talk a little about the Tonkin Gulf incident and then about the background that led us into Vietnam and the reasons why the war was stretched out and became, quote-unquote, unwinnable. Just to define our terms, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution was the resolution of Congress by which President Lyndon Baines Johnson was authorized to intervene with heavy force in Vietnam and led to the tragic war, which, as you pointed out, cost 58,000 American lives and ended in defeat. And the Tonkin Gulf Resolution was based on an alleged attack on U.S. destroyers by Vietnamese torpedo boats on the night of August the 4th, 1964, in the Tonkin Gulf off the coast of Vietnam. And there was no question that there was some gunfire exchange on August the 2nd, but the incident that led to the resolution apparently never even took place. And in my new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, I quote Admiral James Stockdale, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, who was a pilot in the Tonkin Gulf at that time. He overflew the scene of the alleged attack for 90 minutes. And I'm going to quote him. I'm going to pick up from his war memoir, In Love and War, which he wrote after he returned to America after spending 7 years in a communist hellish POW camp. I'm going to pick it up from his return to the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga. Quote, "Wheeling into the ready room, I had hurriedly left 3 hours before. I came face to face with about 10 assorted ship's company, air group, and staff intelligence officers, all with sheepish grins on their faces. The mood of the group was mirthful. Obviously, they had some big joke to tell me. 'What in the hell's been going on out there?' they laughingly asked. 'Damned if I know,' I said. 'It's really a flap. The guy in the Maddox, that's one of the destroyers, air control radio was giving blow-by-blow accounts, just like Sunday. Turning left, turning right, torpedoes to the right of us, torpedoes to the left of us. Boom, boom, boom. I got right down there and shot at whatever they were shooting at. It came around towards the destroyers once, right on the deck, chasing some imaginary PT boat they said was running up behind them. Did you see any boats? Not a one. No boats, no boat wakes, no ricochets off boats, no boat gunfire, no torpedo wakes. Nothing but Black Sea and American firepower. For goodness sakes, I must be going crazy. How could all that commotion have been built up out there without something being behind it?" Now, the next morning, Stockdale describes being woken up. "Who are you?" I asked. "I'm the junior officer of the deck, sir. Captain sent me down to wake you. We just got a message from Washington telling us to prepare to launch strikes against the beach, sir." "What's the idea of the strikes?" "Reprisal, sir." "Reprisal for what?" "For last night's attack on the destroyers, sir." I flipped on my bed lamp and the young officer left. It felt like I'd been doused with ice water. How do I get in touch with the president? He's going up half-cocked. We were about to launch a war under false pretenses. The fact that war was being conceived out here in the humid muck of the Tonkin Gulf didn't bother me so much. But I felt it was a bad portent that we seemed to be under the control of a mindless Washington bureaucracy, vain enough to pick their own legitimacies regardless of the evidence." Unquote, Admiral James Stockdale, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And as it was later revealed, by the way, Dr. Stan, as you know, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution was actually written before the Tonkin Gulf incident took place. It was simply waiting for an excuse to activate it.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
Now, Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world, from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, we're talking about the Vietnam War. I was personally told by a four-star Marine General, General Lew Walt, by the American ambassador to Laos, William H. Sullivan, we could have won the war in 6 weeks. All we had to do was invade North Vietnam. We didn't have to lose the war. We didn't have to fight the war. But they wanted a war. And, of course, 58,000 American boys were murdered because of the people in Washington, D.C., who wanted to fight a senseless war. A great diversion, a wonderful diversion. And if you don't believe that, read the January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the end of either or, and basically the whole idea is not either winning in Vietnam or suddenly pulling out. They said the road forward is home. If you believe in the great new departures in health and education and welfare, if you believe in social equality, why suddenly don't say we ought to leave Vietnam? Because exactly the opposite is the case. Persistence in Vietnam is the road forward at home. And those are the exact words that they used in this article written by James Bundy, who was the foreign policy advisor to the President of the United States. And basically, we fought this war so we could have the Great Society program, a wonderful Medicare, and the other things that are bankrupting America today and have effectively destroyed the practice of medicine. Go right ahead, James.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that article by William P. Bundy. By McGeorge Bundy, because he was the brother of the man who wrote the Tonkin Gulf Resolution prematurely, William P. Bundy. And because they were both handsomely rewarded, when McGeorge Bundy left the government, he was made head of the Ford Foundation. And when William P. Bundy left the State Department, David Rockefeller appointed him editor of Foreign Affairs, the journal you just mentioned, the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which has controlled and dictated our foreign policy from behind the scenes for so long. But to get back to Vietnam, let's talk a little about the roots of this war and how we got involved with it. It really goes back to World War II, when we were fighting a two-front war in the Pacific against Asia, against Japan, and Europe against Germany. And our quote-unquote ally in this war, of course, the Soviet Union, was fighting a one-front war against the Germans. And they were maintaining a non-aggression pact with Japan. Well, at the Tehran and Yalta conferences, the big three conferences, Churchill, Stalin, Roosevelt. Roosevelt asked Stalin if he'd break his peace pact with Japan. And Stalin said he would, but on condition that the United States supply his Far Eastern Army with all the weapons, vehicles, and materiel he would need to make an expedition into Asia. and Roosevelt agreed, and as a consequence, 600 shiploads of Lend-Lease were sent to Russia for the express purpose of fighting Japan. But Stalin was a very clever man. He waited until the United States had beaten Japan, and then after the atom bomb had already exploded on Hiroshima, 5 days before Japan surrendered, then Stalin sent his troops into China to fight the Japanese. Well, they collected the Japanese weapons depots, and they took those weapons and their own American Lend-Lease weapons and handed them over to Mao Zedong for the overthrow of the Chinese Nationalist Government. As a reward for being a co-victor in this the Pacific War, we gave Stalin control of North Korea. He was made the steward trustee of North Korea, which led, of course, to the Korean War, a completely artificial and contrived war intended to validate the UN as a peacekeeper. But then there's the Vietnam War. But the point we're making here is that without these actions on the part of American foreign policy, bringing Stalin and the Soviets into Asia, there never would have been a communism engulfing Asia. We would not have had to fight either a Korean or Vietnam War. But as far as Vietnam specifically, which is our focus today, at the 1943 Tehran conference, Stalin said that, in his opinion, France should no longer be allowed to rule Indochina, which is Southeast Asia, and that had been their colony up until then. And President Roosevelt said to Stalin, he was 100% agreement that France must be forced to leave Indochina. And that was the beginning of our policy there. This is a real surprise to some people, but Ho Chi Minh, the commander of the communist forces who he fought in the Vietnam War, his army was actually trained and supplied by America in 1945. The OSS dropped in, that's a foreigner of the CIA, they dropped into Vietnam, and we equipped his forces with 20,000 cartridges and trained his men, including General Giap. And this was done in the pretext of fighting the Japanese, but this is completely unnecessary. Japan, this is the summer of 45. Japan's already beaten. There was no need to train a communist army in Vietnam to fight Japan. What we're obviously training them to do was to drive out the French, which was the policy articulated by Roosevelt at Tehran. So finally, in 1954, the communists had hemmed in the French at Dien Bien Phu, and the French begged us to intervene. It's been said by some analysts that if we'd permitted them a one-hour aircraft carrier strike, we could have destroyed the communist artillery and swung the tide at that battle. But they were defeated at Dien Bien Phu, and that was the end of France's presence in Vietnam, 1954. Following that, our policy was to divide Vietnam. You know, divide and conquer is a satanic principle. So Vietnam was divided in north and south, just as Korea had been. And our next move was to insist that the emperor, Bao Dai, step down and make way for democracy. And there's a very important process here because Bao Dai, as emperor of Vietnam, was the one man who could have united the country. And here's what he said, quote, "If your country had given me 1/1,000th of the sum they spent to depose me, I could have won that war," unquote. Hilaire Duberrier, the foreign affairs analyst who was a good friend of Bao Dai, said, quote, "When the throne was destroyed, fragmentation resulted because only the man of the throne was above the regional, racial, and religious hatreds dividing the national family," unquote, of Vietnam. So without the emperor, we now introduce democracy. And, of course, democracy can be inherently divisive. It divides a nation into political factions. And the United States really insisted that the president be Ngo Dinh Diem. There was a rigged election. Ngo Dinh Diem was the darling of the Council on Foreign Relations. When he came to America in 1957, he was honored at a luncheon hosted by David Rockefeller and John D. Jr. Rockefeller at their Tarrytown, New York estate. And the next day, he addressed the Council on Foreign Relations. And attached to Diem in Vietnam was CIA's Colonel Edward Lansdale, another member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he oversaw the disarming of the three most powerful indigenous anti-communist groups in Vietnam, the Cao Dai sect, the Hoa Hao sect, and the private army of General Le Van Vien. This is all described in Hilaire Duberrier's book, Vietnam Background to Betrayal. But by disarming these local groups, Duberrier pointed out if we had not done that, there would have been no need for American intervention. The Vietnamese could have handled communism on their own. Now, I'd like to start about talk about our involvement, direct involvement in the Vietnam War. But before I do that, Stan, I've talked long enough. I should pause here and throw it back to you.
Well, all I can say is I agree with everything that James said. And basically, they wanted to get us into a war. Why did they want to get us into a war? It was a diversion as they brought socialism to America. And when you understand that, when you read that article by James Bundy, January 1967, also the in Foreign Affairs magazine, where he says it would be an act of folly for any true liberal to say we have a choice between a persistence in Vietnam and the withdrawal of, why, of course, that's exactly the opposite of the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. Now, here's me, George Bundy, member of the Trilateral Commission. He wasn't a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was a member of the CFR, but he and his brothers, they were part and parcel of this whole effort to bring socialism to America, to destroy the barriers which had prevented the federal government from becoming all-powerful. They wanted to establish an all-powerful federal government that the American people would become reliant upon, and that's what they did. And that's what Vietnam was. It was a great diversion as they brought socialism to America, and nobody's ever told the American people the truth. Go right ahead, James.
Yes, and you could make the argument that they've done those kind of diversions many times. For example, the current foreign crises the last couple of years have helped divert people's attention from things taking place here at home, like Obamacare. So very analogous. But to talk about the beginnings of our direct involvement in Vietnam, the decision to send the first U.S. combat troops to Vietnam was in 1961, when President Kennedy was advised to do that by Walt Rostow of the State Department. And I'd like to make a point here that the media created the impression that the people behind the war and the involvement in the war were these right-wing hawks, these Archie Bunker flag-waving types of guys. Well, Walt Rostow was nothing like that at all. His father had been a Marxist revolutionary in Russia. Two of his aunts belonged to the U.S. Communist Party. His brother, Eugene Debs Rostow, was named after the Socialist Party leader, Eugene Debs. And he couldn't even get into the State Department under the Eisenhower administration because he was rejected three times as a security risk. And the only way the Kennedys could get him into the State Department was by firing the head of the security for the State Department, Otto Atepka. And a whole book has been written about that, The Ordeal of Otto Atepka, by William J. Gill. And I mentioned, we're talking about William P. Bundy, who drafted the Tonkin Gulf Resolution prematurely. He was the Assistant Secretary of State for Far Eastern Affairs. As you mentioned, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Was he an anti-communist? Well, you go back to the 1950s, he was the head of the Al-Juhis Defense Fund. You remember Al-Juhis was a notorious Soviet spy. And, of course, there's no way an anti-communist would do that. Was he a nationalist? No. As I mentioned, he became the editor of Foreign Affairs, which is the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, the number one opponent of national sovereignty. As far as Walt Rostow's patriotism goes, the year before he gave Kennedy the advice to send troops to Vietnam, he wrote a book in which he called for what he called, quote, an end to nationhood, as it has been historically defined. So these guys were not flag wavers. They were not anti-communists. But there's one other element to the war that should be known about. President Johnson escalated the war after being reelected. He escalated the war in 1965 at the urging of a secret clique of advisors who were nicknamed the Wise Men. There were 14 men, 12 of whom were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And these meetings are described in the book The Wise Men by Walter Isaacson and Evan Thomas, who themselves are Council on Foreign Relations members. The man who led the Wise Men and was most vocal in demanding escalation was Dean Acheson. So people might think, well, Dean Acheson must have been a right-wing anti-communist hawk to ask for the Vietnam War to be escalated. To the contrary, even before he recognized the Soviet Union in 1933, Stalin had already picked Dean Acheson as a young attorney to represent Soviet interests in America. When he was in the State Department, he surrounded himself with communists and security risks and known spies like John Stewart Service, John Carter, Vincent Lachlan Curry. He promoted John Stewart Service even after the FBI caught him, cut service, passing secrets to government agents. Acheson's law partner was Donald Hiss, member of the U.S. Communist Party, and the brother of the Soviet spy Alger Hiss. And so this guy was also, and of course, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So again, not an Archie Bunker, not a flag waver at all. And by the way, he was the father-in-law of William P. Bundy, who drafted the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. So we have here's a small clique of men getting us into the Vietnam War who are not patriots, who are not anti-communist, who are part of the anti-American elite.
And the average American doesn't understand that. We went into Vietnam to loot. We went into Vietnam so we could bring socialism to America and communize America, and they accomplished that goal. And to this day, the average American has no reason, no way of knowing what it was about. I think you've given an excellent summary. The people who got us into Vietnam got us in there to lose, and I fear that the coming war is going to be the same. But go right ahead.
Well, let's talk about the losing of the Vietnam War. I always like to give this context. In World War II, we fought a two-front war, Europe and the Pacific, and we won that war in 3.5 years, even though our opponents were extremely tough. The Japanese and Germans had very strong militaries, air forces, navies, armies. We defeated them in 3.5 years with the help of our allies. But in Vietnam, we fought for 14 years, and we lost. Obviously, something's wrong with the picture. Now, I've been told by some people that the reason we lost in North Vietnam was because the Vietnamese were so nationalistic, and we couldn't overcome their nationalism, and that was a common liberal explanation of losing the war. That's not the case. You go back to World War II, look how nationalistic the Japanese were. Nobody was more nationalistic than the Japanese, and they were consolidated behind their emperor, Hirohito, but the Vietnamese were not consolidated behind Ho Chi Minh. They feared him, and 2 million people, boat people, left Vietnam to escape him.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in the book.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Richard called one of those other gold dealers.
Richard, please answer the door!
Richard gave them all their information.
Richard, you should have called Patriot! Now they'll never stop calling and sending their solicitations!
Don't be a Richard. Call the Patriot Trading Group for all your gold and silver needs at 800-951-0592 or go to our website at allamericangold.com.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself.
With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Well, Dr. Ben, I'm here, I guess, but it's big for love. And before we go on, James, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your website and get your book.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. My name again is James Perloff. It's P-E-R-L-O-F-F. My website is jamesperloff.com, and some of your listeners may know me from my book, The Shadows of Power, bestseller on the Council on Foreign Relations. I do have a new book, came out last year, both Kindle and paperback editions. It's called Truth of the Lonely Warrior, and it goes into great detail about this whole satanic drive for world government, all the false flags, the CFR's control of the government, the Federal Reserve has a chapter on the war in Vietnam, chapters on media control, Freemasonry, environmentalism as a pretext of control, Zionism, 911, the war on faith, the police state, and population control through things like vaccines and weather control. So it's a up-to-date book and something you can give to someone to give them a full look at what's going on. But again, the website is jamesperloff.com, and you can get my new book, Truth is the Lonely Warrior, through bookstores or through Amazon. And thank you for that opportunity to mention that information. But shall we return to the Vietnam scenario?
We carry the book. If you'd like to get it.
Oh, yes.
Radio Liberty, of course. We carry both books. But basically, they're important books to really understand what's going on, because James gives you the information you're not going to get through regular channels, because the vast majority of the major publishing houses in the United States are controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness. And they bought them up systematically. Six major corporations control 90% of the media outlets in America. And certainly you look at any of the major publishing houses, they have a dozen publishing houses. Why? So that you will not hear the truth. Go right ahead, James.
Well, thank you. And it's because of alternative media that, like your show, Dr. Stan, that people don't have to just rely on those six major corporations that control the media. And I would urge people, if they do want to buy my book, to get it right through Radio Liberty. That would be a great way of supporting your ministry. But to get back to the war in Vietnam, why we lost it, we were talking about how we easily, well, not easily, but how we won relatively quickly World War II against a much tougher opponent. Which, during the Vietnam War, our defense secretary was Robert McNamara, at least under the Democrats, and he forbade the Air Force to strike over 90% of the strategic targets it requested to hit. And, of course, when he left the Defense Department, I mentioned what happened to Bundy. The Bundys became head of the Ford Foundation and editor of Foreign Affairs. Robert McNamara was rewarded by becoming president of the World Bank. As you can see, we're dealing with this little establishment clique that rewards its people. But the main thing that was has been cited as preventing war and victory in Vietnam were the rules of engagement, which were not declassified until 1985, when Barry Goldwater had them published in the Congressional Record, took up 26 pages of fine print there. According to the rules of engagement in Vietnam, American soldiers were under general orders not to shoot first. You're supposed to wait until you're fired upon. If you saw an enemy fighter plane, a MiG on the ground, you weren't to attack it. It had to be up in the air and showing what they called hostile intent. If a surface-to-air missile launch site was under construction, it couldn't be bombed. You had to wait until it was fully operational. Trucks more than 200 yards of the Ho Chi Minh Trail, by which the communists were sending their supplies down south, could not be bombed. That was all they had to do, was pull off the trail when radar warned them that bombers were coming and they could avoid destruction. Now, we did not fight World War II like that. And if World War II, we said, oh, we can't bomb those Messerschmitts on that airfield because they're not up in the air showing hostile intent, we would have lost World War II. We didn't lose in Vietnam because the people of Vietnam loved Ho Chi Minh a communist. We lost because of the rules of engagement. This is affirmed by Lloyd Mallon, a journalist. 1968, he interviewed nearly a dozen retired high-ranking U.S. military officers, and every one of them queried separately, said just what you said, Stan, that the war could have been won in weeks or months. This is 1968 at the height of the war. What these generals said was you need to declare war on Vietnam, take the war against it directly by invasion, bomb the strategic targets, blockade Haiphong Harbor, block the Ho Chi Minh Trail, don't just bomb it periodically. Needless to say, all their advice was ignored. But I know that you talked to General Lew Walt, the Marine general. What did Lew Walt tell you about that, Stan?
He said we could have won the war in 6 weeks. All we had to do was invade North Vietnam. And he personally told me that. We have a televised interview with Lew Walt. You can get to my ministry, anybody wants to see it. But again, the same thing, William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos, a member of the CFR, as a matter of fact, a friend of David Rockefeller's, he told me exactly the same thing. He said, I never understood why we didn't simply go ahead and win the war. We could have won it in 6 weeks. Those were his very words. And the average American, of course, has never been allowed to know that. No, all we know is we lost the war. We didn't lose the war. We gave it to the communists. Go ahead.
Another element that shouldn't be overlooked is the trade factor. Zbigniew Brzezinski, it's amazing how far back Zbigniew Brzezinski goes. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote an article for the July 1961 Foreign Affairs. It's called Peaceful Engagement in Eastern Europe. And he recommended boosting trade with the Soviet bloc. And, of course, you know, he was the guy who later founded the Travel Commission with David Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR. David Rockefeller, in 1964, flew to the Soviet Union, met with Khrushchev, then came back home and told President Johnson that the Soviets wanted to open up trade. So this was done. And I'm going to quote the October 27th, New York Times, quote, the Soviet Union and its allies agreed at the conference of their leaders in Moscow last week to grant North Vietnam assistance in material and money amounting to about $1 billion, unquote. Now, that quote from New York Times came just 2 weeks after the United States lifted trade restrictions on trade to the Soviet bloc. So you can see the immediate impact of David Rockefeller's trip was to boost trade with the Soviet bloc, which was supplying the North Vietnamese and made a significant contribution to the war effort against our own soldiers there.
And it was not only increasing trade, but we lent them money. We lent them money and we provided the material to the communists in Russia who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the South Vietnamese, who were killing our boys. And where was the outcry from the American people? Well, because the media in America is controlled, the average American had no idea we were financing our enemies all during the war. Otherwise, if we hadn't financed, certainly the Russians who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the Viet Cong, we couldn't have had a war. Right ahead.
Well, you can see, Stan, what we really needed was radio liberty during the Vietnam War to raise that outcry. Well, you were talking earlier about the plan to fund socialism as a result of this, and I think that's a very important point, that this same clique that got us into the war also was funding the other side. Stuff I've been pointing out, for the Rothschilds have funded both sides of wars. This is happening during the Revolution to create the dialectic. And quote Jerry Kirk, he was a member of the U.S. Communist Party, ex-member, I should say, an ex-member of SDS, the Students for Democratic Society, which was really spearheading the anti-war movement. And here's what he testified before the House and Senate Internal Security panels, quote, the radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super-rich, like Rockefeller and Ford, and they don't realize that it's precisely such forces which are behind their own revolution and using it for their own purposes. And I'll give you another quote from the Strawberry Statement, Notes of a College Revolutionary by James Coonan. That was also made into a Hollywood movie. In that book, he described the 1968 annual meeting of students for a...
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. for your free consultation and no-obligation quote. Give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
And our guest this morning, James Furloff. James, go right ahead.
Yes, sorry, I started to talk into the break. I was just quoting James Coonan, student radical, in his 1968 book, The Strawberry Statement, describing the SDS annual convention. He said, quote, "At the convention, men from Business International Roundtables, the meeting sponsored by Business International, tried to buy up a few radicals. These men are the world's leading industrialists, and they convene to decide how our lives are going to go. They're the left wing of the ruling class. They offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. We're also offered SO Rockefeller money. They want us to make a lot of radical commotion so they can look more in the center as they move to the left," unquote. I'll mention something else kind of interesting, Dr. Stan. I was a hippie myself back in those days, and I lived in Boston. I still live near Boston now. And the radical newspaper of that time that all the hippies would read was called the Boston Phoenix. Well, do you know who the editor was of the Boston Phoenix? It was David Rockefeller Jr. So you definitely have this big connection between the so-called conservative establishment and the hippies and the yippies and the radicals. And, of course, the mainstream media was not cluing anyone as to what was going on. And I'll give you a relevant quote from Congressman John Rarick of Louisiana. Here's what he said, talking about the media's representation of the war. He said the selling of the Pentagon, that was a CBS special, and the so-called Pentagon Papers are leading examples of attempts to shift all the blame to the military in the eyes of the people. But no one identifies the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, a group of some 1,400 Americans, which includes as members almost every top-level decision and policymaker in the Vietnam War. CBS tells the people it wants them to know what's going on and who's to blame. Why doesn't CBS tell the American people about the CFR and let the people decide whom to blame for the Vietnam fiasco? The planners and top decision makers of a closely knit financial, industrial, intellectual aristocracy? Or military leaders under civilian control who have had little or no voice in the overall policies and operations and were forbidden by law to tell the American people their side? Who will tell the people the truth if those who control the right-to-know machinery also control the government, unquote? When he's talking about the people running the government also controlling the right-to-know machinery, he's talking about the fact that, just as you say, there's just a few multinational corporations controlling the media, and those same financial interests also control the government. And when you have that connection, it's impossible for people to find out the truth except by going to alternative media.
And that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and that's why I know that you do the radio interviews. So go right ahead, Dave.
Right. Well, why don't we give people some examples of media control? Hold on just a second. If you take, for example, Time Warner, Time Warner controls CNN, controls Time Magazine. It controls, up until recently, until the spinoff, it controlled America Online. It controls Sports Illustrated, Money Magazine. You have so many media outlets that are controlled by single corporations. People get the idea that because, oh, I saw a story on America Online this morning, and then it was confirmed by what I saw on CNN, it was confirmed by Time Magazine. When you have the same owner controlling the media outlets, of course, you're going to get a false consensus about what is taking place in our world. Because, you know, it's the media is like just like any other business. The boss calls the shots. And in this case, you have just a few corporate media owners who are telling the reporters what they can say and what they can't say. And if they step out of line, of course, they'll be fired. A good example of that, if you go on onto YouTube, people can see ex-reporters for a show from Fox. It's called The Reporters, and they were going to do an expose of Monsanto and its GMO products. And when Monsanto called Fox and told them to cancel the show, that these guys got fired, and you can see them interviewed on YouTube. But that's how it goes. That's why you have to go to alternative media to find out what's going on.
Well, it's vitally important that people understand that our reality is created for us by the people who control the media. And until we certainly can get alternative sources, which is what us and you are getting here on the American Freedom Network, you're fortunate to have this outlet because, of course, almost all of the other major outlets are controlled by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, basically, Vietnam was a terrible, terrible tragedy. 58,000 American boys died in a war that we went in intentionally to lose. I can remember initially I supported the war. I thought we were fighting communism. And what a disillusionment it finally was when I came to the conclusion we weren't fighting communism at all in Vietnam. This was the means by which they were going to transform America, and they did it. And I don't think anybody else has told the American people the real reason for the Vietnam War, other than people like James Perloff and myself. James, certainly, this is not widely known that the whole idea was to bring socialism to America. And it should be so obvious, and yet the average American has no idea what Vietnam was really about.
That's right, and you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, which dictated the war's policies, their goal has always been the end of sovereignty, as Walt Rostow put it, as I quoted him earlier, an end to nationhood as it's been historically defined. So one of the things that kind of symbolized the revolution of that time was when college students started burning the American flag on college campuses. I really feel that the burning of the American flag represented a culmination or a victory for the Council on Foreign Relations because it symbolized the end of sovereignty. To bring about a world government, which is their goal, you have to end sovereignty.
Amen to that. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving away from national sovereignty. The whole idea is to merge us into this one world government. Right now, America has an empire. The reason, of course, we have our troops in 130 nations, 800 to 1,000 foreign bases, is to maintain our empire as we consolidate control over the world. And the fact that most people have no idea what's going on is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. Parting thought, and then we'll let you go, James.
I just want to point out that what happened in Vietnam was not unique. We've been brought into wars by many deceptions in the Spanish-American War. But a parting thought is just thanks to all your listeners for their interest in the truth, and thank you, Stan, for having me on.
God bless. Talk to you later. Today.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, we do hope that you enjoy our morning program, dear, and that you learn from them and you begin to understand that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. And you're not getting the truth. You're not being allowed to understand that we've financed communism since its inception. Who do you think is funding the radical Islamic movement today? If you doubt me, go up on the internet and type in CIA funds ISI. You'll find out the CIA is funding this ISIS movement that is versus sweeping across Iraq and into Syria. And now we're bombing them. We're financing them. We're bombing them. And basically, type in CIA funds Al-Qaeda, CIA funds Taliban, CIA funds Muslim Brotherhood. You'll find the CIA. There will be at least a few articles about how the CIA funds all of this radical Islamic movement that is over there killing people, slaughtered 30 million Christians. We are funding the people who are killing the Christians today because the people who control our government hate Christianity, which is why they took Christianity out of our schools, certainly why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And what are the good Christians in this country doing? Why are we leading the good life? I mean, we've never had it so good. We have the most wonderful country in the world, but ladies and gentlemen, this is all coming to an end. And unless the American people take a stand and begin to expose the fact that we have a small clique, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, doesn't matter what you call them, are the people who control our banking system, our major media outlets, our major corporations. They have the people in the military. They control the educational system through the tax-exempt foundation. And certainly they have their people planted in our churches to neutralize the church and change the music of the church. These things didn't happen by accident. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Now, if you'd like to know how the media is controlled, the book, The New Media Monopoly, that's The New Media Monopoly, you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. So you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, at 1-800-544-8927. But we have all sorts of great four CD sets on everything imaginable. And we have a new one out on the dangers of electromagnetic electricity.